Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us. Well, it's been a couple weeks since we've done a program. So for those of you who've been patiently waiting, we thank you for your patience. Sometimes it's hard to get into a rhythm, especially when you have a lot of things going on in family life. And since I've been on, since I've spoken to you last, a lot of things have happened. First of all, my wife is pregnant with our fourth child, we've learned. And we also had a lot of the brethren here at our house over the Christmas holiday between Christmas and actually they stayed till after New Year's, our group from Ludington, Michigan, where we spent a whole week studying the Word of God, going through the book of Philippians. And it's just been it's been quite a last few weeks since I think last time we posted a program was on December 17th. We will try to get these out faster, but we thank you for your patience. And thank you all. Many of you have called and emailed looking for material, the Concordant Version, and some of you bought God's Aeonian Purpose and the Concordant Commentary. Friends, you'll not get better material anywhere. And those three volumes I just spoke of, the Concordant Bible, the Concordant New Testament, the Concordant Commentary, and God's Aeonian Purpose. And that's something that every believer should have. Well, we are in Ephesians, and last time we spoke, we left off here after verse 7. And why don't we just read from verse 7 to 12. Let's read it. In whom we are having the deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses in accord with the riches of his grace, which he lavishes on us, in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the secret of his will, in accord with his delight which he purposed in him, to have an administration of the complement of the eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. In him in whom our lot was cast also, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory, who are pre-expectant in the Christ. Well, there's a lot of stuff here, and as we pointed out, just as a reminder, verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians 1 is the charter of the church. In verse 3 to 6, we have the Father's purpose, and it ends with applause and glory. In verses 7 through 12, we have the work of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ends with praise and glory. In verses 13 and 14, we have the seal of the Spirit, and that ends with praise and glory. Well, here in verse 8, Paul says, after having described our deliverance through Christ's blood and our forgiveness that he lavishes on us, he says, in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the secret of his will. Now, some, as we pointed out last time, are very satisfied with verse 7. There was one time I was giving a lecture somewhere on biblical subjects, and what I was teaching was a little beyond some of the people in the front row, and the brother raised his hand and says, all I know is Jesus loves me. I don't understand this other stuff. And he actually interrupted my message. And basically, that attitude is pretty prevalent among many believers. They just want to know that Jesus loves them and that, oh, he died for them and they're saved, and they never really want to advance. But if God has revealed himself to us, shouldn't we want to advance? When God declared us righteous, when he delivered us through his blood, he wanted to let us into his family secrets. Just like Abraham in the Old Testament, God justified Abraham by faith, and then later on, God told Abraham what he was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember that scene in Genesis 18? Can you imagine if God said, Abraham, I want to tell you about what I'm going to do down there. What if Abraham had said, nah, Lord, that's okay. I know I'm saved. I don't need to know anything else. That would be rather bad, wouldn't it? And yet many today want to settle for what they call the simple things. And what they really mean is they want to remain dumb in the things of God. And I say this with kindness and charity, because if God has spoken, isn't it something as members of his family? Shouldn't we want to know what our Father has to teach us and to reveal to us? And I think that most of you will agree that, yes, we should. Well, here he says he has in all wisdom and prudence making known to us the secret of his will. Notice wisdom and prudence. When God reveals himself to us, he does it in wisdom and prudence. In other words, the knowledge of truth and our character should coincide. In other words, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, he makes known to us these great things in chapters 1 through 3. And then in chapters 4 through 6, Paul tells us to walk worthy of our calling. We've been revealed great secrets in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. But in chapters 4, 5, and 6, well, how do we live in view of this teaching? And by the way, notice always that teaching comes before walk. In other words, knowledge of doctrine comes before how we behave. And that's an important lesson to learn. So in all wisdom and prudence, he's making known to us the secret of his will in accord with his delight, which he purposed in him. So God has a secret of his will. And one of the things about this secret of his will, it's something he was in accord with his delight. It's something he's delighted in. And he purposed it in him, in Christ or in himself, in verse 9 there at the end. Now, what is this term secret? And this is where we're going to end up our meeting today. It says this term secret, and some Bibles read the word mystery. But the very, and I'm going to read from The Unsearchable Riches, Volume 1 on the Divine Mysteries, and this is what it says. The very word mystery seems to shut the door of love in our face instead of opening its portals. It seems large and dark and shadowy. It seems to defy knowledge. None but the wisest may even attempt a solution, the solution of a mystery. And he goes on, not so with the mysteries of God's holy word. They were simply secrets. Once they were hidden and could not be known. After God told them, they were easily understood by all who had ears to hear. So the word secrets in the Bible, or mysteries in some other versions, simply means it is a secret. It's something that was hidden that God reveals. The Greeks were noted for their mysteries. The key to these was not learning or wisdom, but initiation. A knowledge of their secrets could only be obtained by the initiates. In other words, it's like you join a club and you won't learn any of those club secrets until you join the club. And that's how it was with the Greeks. Well, those of us who believe in Christ, God lets us into his secrets. Now, the outsider might try ever so hard, the outsider of that club, might try ever so hard, but he could not find out the simplest secret. The greatest mental effort, the keenest insight, could never discover their mysteries, but the meanest mind could grasp them once they were unveiled. In other words, God's secrets are not mysterious. God's secrets aren't so hard to understand. God's secrets are not something that's reserved only for the educated, the PhDs, or those who go to seminary. As a matter of fact, probably those who are educated and go to seminary will not ever get into the secrets of God. And I find that to be true, actually. It doesn't require learning or education. It requires initiation. Are you a believer? You have God's Spirit. Well, he unveils these things through his Scripture. And there are 12 secrets in the Bible. There are 12 secrets. And just real quickly, I'll list them. There are the mysteries of the kingdom found in Matthew 13. There's the duration of Israel's blindness, Romans 11:25. There's the mystery of the gospel, Romans 16:25. The mystery of resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:51. The mystery of Messiah, Ephesians 1:9 and 3:4. The mystery, called the secret economy, Ephesians 3:9. The mystery of marriage, Ephesians 5:32. The mystery of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery of the seven stars, Revelation 1:20. The mystery of God, Revelation 10:7. The mystery of Babylon, Revelation 17:5-7. And there are other references to mysteries in general. But there are 12 mysteries. Now again, what are mysteries? They're secrets. And how do you have to know a secret? Only through initiation. You have to be part of the family. And there are 12 of them in the New Testament. And we can't get into all that now. We'll go back and rewind and write those down and look those references up to the mysteries. So Paul says he's making known to us the secret of his will in accord with his delight, which he purposed in him. And next time, we'll discuss what this mystery of God's will is. And it's concerning Christ. And Christ is the key to everything, isn't he? And until next time, remember, God's riches are untraceable, and they belong to us, dearly beloved. And we'll see you next time.